Proverbs 29, and we're going to stand in just a moment for the reading of God's Word. Appreciate our visitors with us this morning. I want to tell you that Lawana Baptist Church is an independent Baptist church. We're not affiliated with any conventions or associations. Our headquarters is heaven. Our money that we collect takes care of our responsibilities here in Holtsville, and then we have a very strong evangelistic outreach. We have missionaries out of our church that we support overseas, and we have works going on in Bangladesh, in Pakistan, out east. Brother Inksetter is doing a work in New York City and had a great divine appointment yesterday. He's going to share with the church in the afternoon service, and we're trying to reach people with the gospel. Amen. But our belief system is the Bible. We believe the Bible from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Our day is a day of compromise. We can read about it. We will deal with this afternoon in the book of Jude, which is right before Revelation, is the book of apostates, where the book after the gospel is the book of Acts. And we find a lot of compromise in our day. Churches are not here to preach the truth. They're here to make us feel good. Well, our church is not here for that. I'd like you to feel as good as you can, and we have nice seating, we have air conditioning, we try to make it as comfortable as possible, but there are a lot of things that are uncomfortable in the Scriptures, and we're not afraid of them. We just believe in preaching the Bible and whatever God leads us to do. Most of our messages are books that we study verse by verse. We do a lot of a study like that, but this morning is a topical message. We're going to stay with the text, but we're not doing a verse-by-verse study in the book of Proverbs. But God has laid this on my heart, and I believe it's a message for the moment. Whatever God wants out of this, I didn't know who's going to be here, who's not going to be here. I don't do my sermons for that way. I try to find God's leadership, and whatever it is, I've said to the Lord many times, I'll preach whatever you want me to preach, Lord. You just give it to me and help me get it down on paper. I'll preach it. And so let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I believe in divine appointments. I believe this is a divine appointment. I will say this, listen to the message. Don't drown me out. Don't cut me off. Don't start making your grocery list. Don't figure out, if the Yankees are going to win or the Mets are going to lose or anything like that. Let's just focus on the message at hand. What does God want me to get from this message? And believe me, you're here by divine appointment. It's not an accident. It's not a mistake. God's will. Our Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege we have to be together, and thank you, Lord, for each person here. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for our great Savior, the one who went to the cross and shed his blood that all men could receive remission of sins. And Father, we thank you for the time, the place, the moment. I realize, Father, that your will is preeminent in our lives. We want that. We want to do the will of God. Thank you for all the preparation, all the music. Now, Father, as we focus in on the Bible, help us, Lord, to do your will. Help us to learn. Help us to make personal application. Help us to listen. Help us not to be rebellious, but tender-hearted to God. As the Bible tells us time and time again, while you hear his voice, harden not your heart. I pray no one be so foolish to get upset with God's Word or God or Jesus Christ. They are the Spirit of God. And Father, we would ask for your presence to be very real in this place. Pray, Father, you'd speak to all of us. It'd be great victories. And Lord, we pray for Vera Swan this morning. You know what's going on. You know where she is. You know what's happening to her body. I pray that thy Holy Spirit would really deal with her soul. And she'd get this settled once and forevermore. As we know, it's appointed that men once to die. And I pray that all of us here would be ready when our time comes. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I want to read that again. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Thank you. You may be seated. I said to someone recently, I said, no one dies in our church. I mean, you think about it, when's the last time we had a church funeral? It just doesn't happen very often. I mean, it's a rarity. I remember it was like that in my home church in Bible Baptist. No one died. They just lived and lived and lived and lived and lived. I know we're going to die. I may die today. You may die today. But it's just God has blessed our church greatly. And it's not. I'm not saying it's not a blessing to die. It is a blessing to die, especially if you're saved. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But we find here that God gives a warning here in Proverbs 29 about being often reproved. God speaking to our hearts. There comes a time where the Bible says, and shall suddenly be destroyed. Now here's the sobering part of it, and that without remedy. There's so many things in life that has a remedy. You can be a financial failure and have remedy. You can recover from finances. You can recover from health. Probably everyone knows someone who survived cancer. You know, it looked like it was, you know, there was, you know, just one step away from death. And next thing you know, the body recovers and they come back and they're healthy as can be. A heart attack. I remember my pastor had a major heart attack in his 40s. And now he's in his 80s. He lived a very healthy life the second half and has done very well, very active, still preaches. So there's a lot of things we can recover from. But God says that if you're being often reproved, God is speaking to your heart, and you stiffen up your neck, you resist, is what the Bible says. You're going to be suddenly destroyed. And that without remedy. The Bible tells us that God created all things in 6 literal days. We don't believe in evolution. We don't believe that we evolved from monkeys. We don't believe there was an explosion out in the middle of nowhere and this all happened. We believe in a creator. We just don't believe in a force. We believe that God created all things. And on the 6th day, he rested. Or 7th day, he rested after 6 literal days of creation. And so we find here that he made man. He made Adam and Eve. I was taught in confirmation class that Adam and Eve were male and female monkeys. I never got that. Never made sense to me. I never saw the continuation of evolution taking place. You've heard me say this before. If evolution was real, there'd be half of everything. There'd be half monkey, half men. You say, well, they went extinct. Well, evolution doesn't stop if it's true, but it's not true. It's a theory. The Bible tells us how we got here. We're fearfully, wonderfully made. We're made in the image of God. God is a triune God, and we're triune. We're body, we're spirit, soul, and body. Apparently, someone's offended at this. Anyway, we continue on. That's it. My kids are like John the Baptist crying in the wilderness. Amen? Man, that wasn't bad at all. Well, anyway, we find where God finishes his creation. And he said in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and morning were the 6th day. Genesis chapter 3, the Bible says that Adam sinned. In Romans 5:12, wherefore as by one man sin into the world, death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because a man sinned, man must die. The Bible is very plain about that. Adam and Eve would have lived forever. But because sin entered the garden, entered their lives, they die. That's why you and I die, because of sin. 2 Samuel 14:14, for we must needs die. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. James 1:15, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So the end result of the unforgiven sinner is a place known as hell. Then on to the lake of fire. In Revelation chapter 20, I'm going to ask you to turn there real quickly. Revelation chapter 20. A lot of people think that the next life is so mysterious. It's not. It's very plain. It's heaven or hell. There's no purgatory. There's no limbo. There's no nirvana. Say, how do you know that? The Bible says so. It's real simple, beloved. It tells us how we got here and how it's going to end. And no one's ever disproved the Bible. Now, there are a lot of people who try to. They've disproved religion, but no one's ever disproved the Bible. There's no mistakes in the Bible. There's no errors. It is accurate. In Revelation 20, and notice if you would verse 10, the Bible says, And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, which is where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Now that's the lake of fire, torment. The Bible says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave to the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered the dead which were in them. And they would judge every man according to their works. Now this is a judgment of the unsaved. This is a judgment of those who have never been saved by God's grace. So what does that mean, preacher? Well, you listen, you need to be saved. If you're saved, you'll know it. You know, because you did what the Bible says. You know, you can tell your testimony. It lines up to the Bible. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. So we find one man said this about the great white throne judgment. He said, great because of the lost of all the earth shall stand before a great white throne. White, not white like ivy, but white hot with the wrath of God. Showing forth the purity, the holiness of Almighty God. It's a throne which speaks of God's right to rule, his judgment, his reign against his enemies. Now understand this, beloved, and we're going to get to this in just a moment, that God's made a way of escape. None of us have to go to hell. None of us have to go to the great white throne judgment. We don't have to be there. We can be forgiven and have eternal life. You could know, this is what the Bible says, you can know that you're saved. You can know that you've passed from death into life. You can know that if you die, you're going to go to heaven. And I've known that for 37 years. It'll be 38 in September. I know. And I know it not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm a good person. I'm not. But I know it because Jesus saved me September 14th, 1976. Now, you may not know the date, but you know the experience. I remember when I first got married, I couldn't remember the date I got married. But I know who I married. I remember the occasion. I remember a lot of the words I said. I remember what took place afterwards. We have a marriage certificate to prove it. But I didn't remember the date. But I knew I was married. And you can know that you're saved. The Bible says in Hebrews, book of Hebrews, that it's appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. The good news that the Lord has provided a way for escape for every sinner. Now I want to take you to John chapter 3. Let's turn there, please. Book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. And this is a great chapter. You're familiar with verse 16, most likely. And the Bible says here in verse 15 of John 3, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that great? That you have to believe in him. Now, religion will say, you've got to make your way to Mecca. You've got to bow to Allah three times a day. You've got to keep the law perfectly. In Hinduism, you've got to wash in the Ganges River. You've got to do sacrifice. I've been in Hindu temples in Bangladesh, seen people who have a blood sacrifice of a goat or something like that, drinking the blood with the water on the floor. I've been there with all their different ceremonies, their worship. If I told you some of the things they worship, you'd be aghast right now. I'm telling you right now, it's that filthy. A lot of religion today, you've got to be baptized as a baby. That's not what the Bible teaches. You don't find baby baptism. You don't find people being sprinkled on their foreheads. You find baptism in the Bible, but it's always by immersion, and it's always by someone who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible goes on and says, verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36. The Bible says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. So there are a lot of people who believe a lot of things within what we call Christendom, that is, they're trusting in the wrong things to get them to heaven. Not found in the Word of God. You say, well, that's the church my mom and dad went to, that's all that I believe, that's the way I was raised, and so on. Could it be possible that you were raised wrong? That you have the wrong belief system? I remember years ago, a good friend of mine had gone down to the Amazon back in the 50s. He took a camera, I think it was a Super 8 or whatever they were back then, and took a video of a girl being sacrificed at the age of 12. A human sacrifice. They were sincere. It's what they were raised to believe, but they were wrong. You don't sacrifice a 12-year-old virgin girl to wash away your sins. You've got to believe in the living and true God. You've got to believe in the only God. You've got to believe what the Bible says. Amen. So we find here in Romans 5:8, but God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. It doesn't matter how sinful you may be according to the Bible says where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. In other words, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life, God can forgive you and save your soul. And the Bible says that salvation may be, salvation is man being saved from his sins. And it's 100% God. So I try to live a good life, but that's not going to get you to heaven. I mean, one time a man said, I pay my taxes, I'm a good person, that's why I'm going to heaven. Well, that's not why you're going to heaven. You know, you don't have to pay your taxes to get to heaven. Amen. I'm not saying don't pay your taxes. We have IRS people in here. But I'm just saying is that's not what's going to get you to heaven. It's God. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the author and finisher of our faith. The man does not go looking for the Lord. God comes looking for us. Romans 3:11, the Bible says there's none that seeketh after God. And our Lord said in John 12:32, and if I be lifted up, from the earth I will draw all men unto me. This is the heart of God, for all men to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:4, who will have all men to be saved and to come into the knowledge of the truth. 2 Peter 3:9, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Proverbs 29 verse 1, let's look at that again please. Proverbs 29 verse 1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Now, here we have God speak to us very plainly that salvation is not something to trifle with. Salvation is not an option. It's the only. You reject salvation, God rejects you. You reject salvation, you're rejecting His Son. You're rejecting the cross. You're rejecting the resurrection. Well, I believe in that and my church saving me. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible teach that. Christ and Christ alone. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man, whether he's in Russia, whether he's in the Far East, the Middle East, Europe, Africa, North America, South America, Australia, New Zealand, no man comes to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. A lot of people think Christianity is American. It's not. It started in Jerusalem. It started among the Jews. Amen. And worked its way out in the Middle East. So we find here that God is very plain. That you, if you're being reproved, don't harden your neck. Don't resist God. Don't say no to God. And yet there's those who do that. They refuse salvation by not submitting to the gift of salvation. See, salvation is a gift to be received. Can't work for it. Can't earn it, can't merit it. Eternal life, forgiveness is only to be received. The gift of eternal life. It'll be impossible for you to be saved otherwise. I want to take you here to Hebrews chapter 6, and we'll really get going then in our message. But Hebrews chapter 6, turn there with me. I want you to see what God has to say here about salvation. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but it's in the Bible. In Hebrews chapter 6, and I want you to notice here, verse 4 through 6. So Paul is writing to the Jewish believers, Jewish converts. And what he's doing in the book of Hebrews, he's showing that Jesus is greater than the Old Testament system. Jesus is greater than the Old Testament sacrifice. Jesus is our great high priest. He's superior. And through His blood, we have remission of sins. I want you to see this in Hebrews 6, verse 4 to 6. Now listen, these are weighty, weighty words. Paul said in verse 4, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, that have tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, have tasted the good word of God and the power of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again, under repentance, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put them no open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth a blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh in the cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. So now Paul says here that there's a time where man is enlightened by God. In other words, the Holy Spirit opens up our understanding. Now notice verse 4, and we'll go right through this. Some people think it's losing your salvation. You can't lose your salvation. It's a gift from God. All you do is receive it. God says, and Jesus said in John 10, I give unto them, what does he do? I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish. The Bible says. Once you're saved, you can't lose it because it's something you received. But notice, this is these are people here who've been often reproved and hardened their neck. Notice what God says about it. Verse 4. It's impossible for those who were once enlightened. There's a period of time. How long? I don't know, beloved. I don't know. Could be 30 years. Could be 1 year. Could be one day. But God illuminated your heart and mind. God, you knew the truth. He says, who have tasted of the heavenly gift, tasted of salvation. He says, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. In other words, there was conviction. The Spirit of God dealt with them. He helped them to understand the gospel message. They knew that they needed to be saved. They were under conviction of their sin. They tasted of this heavenly gift that salvation is free and is to be received. They were troubled about their soul. I remember years ago, when we got First Baptist. I don't remember if you remember this, John. I remember years ago, John had come to the services, he came to church for a while, and so on. I remember during the Imitation of Our Revival meetings, you were so troubled. I remember one time that you and your good wife sat there, probably a good hour afterwards, just thinking about the message. I mean, God was dealing with his heart. God was dealing. Then over a period of time, John was coming back and forth, the church dropped out a little bit, so on and so forth, and then he came back and finally was converted to Christ. Was it 2 years ago? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I'm telling you, he could have fulfilled this verse. I'll never forget that. Sitting there, almost stunned about his lost condition. Thank God he received the gift of eternal life. And the Bible says, and tasted the good word of God in verse 5, and the powers of the world to come. In other words, God's Spirit was dealing with them, drawing them, convicting them, showing their need to be saved. Notice he says, they shall fall away to renew them again under repentance. They fall away, they turn. They turn from the truth. They dismiss it. The Bible says, seeing they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, and put them to an open shame. They come to a place where they're done. God's not dealing with their heart anymore. They turn from the truth. There's no more conviction, no more dealing with their salvation. You say, preacher, could that happen today? Absolutely. Who? I don't know. I don't know if it will. But you may have a line drawn in your life today by God's Spirit. If you don't get saved today, you'll not get saved. Find that there's a time, I know not when, there's a place, I know not where, which marks the destiny of man to heaven or despair. There's a line by us not seen that crosses every path, 'tis the hidden boundary between God's mercy and God's wrath. Men may come with all sorts of reasons, excuses, not to repent and believe, but understand this. There's no acceptable reason or excuse for man not to be saved. There's no reason for anyone to leave here lost today. None. God, if the rapture took place today or you died today, God's not going to say, I know you had chances and so on, but you didn't get saved. And so I'm going to overlook that and don't worry about it. That's not God. Either you're washed in the blood of Jesus or you're not. There's no gray area. No gray area. Well, what if you're really sincere? There's no gray area. What if you didn't? There's no gray area. There's no excuses. Bible says that in Romans chapter 1. God reveals himself through his creation. God gave his son to die in the sinner's place, paid for all of our sins. And it's the only way that God accepts a sinner, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a few verses real quickly. Brother Inkson, would you help me? Matthew 21 verse 42 and Bruce, Mark chapter 7 verse 9. And I'm going to take Luke chapter 7 verse 30. Matthew 21 verse 42. All right, thank you. Mark 7, verse 9, please. All right, and thank you. Luke 7 and verse 30. But the Pharisees' lawyers rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Now Cain, Adam's son, Cain rejected God's plan of salvation. God wanted blood. Abel brought a blood sacrifice. Cain rejected it. He hung on to his beliefs, brought fruit and vegetables, the works of his hands, and God rejected him. And here's what the Bible says. God rejected him, and Cain went out from the presence of the Lord. We find the reproving of the sinner, first of all. He that being often reproved. See, the sinner must be spoken by the Spirit of God and the Word of God if they're going to be saved. The issue which separates man from God is sin. Your sin and my sin. So, preacher, I'm really not that bad of a person. Did you ever compare yourself to the Ten Commandments? First commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Most people have had gods before them, maybe themselves, their will, maybe another religion. Maybe you pray to statues. Maybe you pray to Mary. Maybe you trust in your baptism gets you to heaven, or your good works, or your church membership. Those are false gods. The second commandment is thou shalt not make any idols, and you're not to bow down any idols. Well, I grew up in a church filled with idols, statues. Well, they're not really idols. They are idols. God says you're not to make any image of God in heaven above, earth beneath, in the waters. No images of God. I grew up in a church like that. Nothing but images, paintings. Statues. Amen. Third commandment and fourth commandment, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, that keep the Sabbath holy. I broke those commandments. I took God's name. I'd take Jesus' name. I asked God to damn things. I'd miss church. The fifth commandment is honor your father and mother. I didn't always honor my father and mother. I disobeyed them, talked back to them. They'd say I was a good kid, but I broke that commandment. 6, 7, and 8 is thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal. Jesus said this, if you look upon a woman of lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. Just the wrong thought. God says if you have issues against your brother, anger, hatred, you're a murderer. And who hasn't stolen something? If you're in the military, you stole pens. That green blanket you're supposed to turn in. I mean, think about stealing, taking something that didn't belong to you. 9th commandment, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness, you're not to lie. Who hasn't lied? Everyone's lied. Thou shalt not covet. Who hasn't coveted? Especially if you live in New York. It's a land of covetousness. Those are 10 simple commandments. Here's what the Bible says. If you break one, you're guilty of breaking them all. So you can justify yourself all you want, but you're lying. You say, I never broke any of them. You're lying. Sure you have. You never had another God before the Lord God? You've never coveted? You never dishonored your parents? You never grumbled in your heart towards them? You never disagreed and rebelled against them? You're not honest. And then what are you going to do with your sin? You've sinned already. How are you going to get rid of your sin? Well, God is a merciful God. That's true. But how are you going to get rid of your sin? Well, God is a loving God. That's true. But how are you going to get rid of your sin? John 16, verse 8, He will, speaking of the Spirit of God, He will reprove the world of sin and righteousness and judgment to come. Of sin because they believe not on Me. In 1 John 5, 10, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. For you to be here lost today and say, well, I don't know if God loves me. I don't know if God saved me. I don't know if God will work. I tried it before. It doesn't work. You've not believed. You've not repented. You've not trusted Christ. When you're willing to turn to God from your idols to serve the living God, God will save your soul. But you've got to believe if you're turning that God's going to save you. And He will. He said He would. God cannot lie. We find people who have all sorts of reasons why they're not saved. They make all sorts of excuses why they're not converted to Christ. But remember this, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. The Bible has many stories of people being reproved and often, and they wind up rejecting the truth. They destroy their soul. They simply refuse to believe God. The Bible is filled with Old and New Testament. Second of all, we not only find the reprovingness and the rebelling of the sinner. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:1, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck. This is self-inflicted. This is foolish. This is self-destructive. This is eternally fatal. No surrender, no salvation, no submission, no salvation. When was it that someone showed you from the Bible how to be saved? Oh, I knew that all my life. That's impossible. We're not born that way. We're born in darkness, spiritual darkness. We're born separated from God. I was born into a Christian family. Your parents aren't going to save you. And your relationship to your parents is not going to save you. God is the only one that can save your soul. When were you saved? Who showed you how to be saved? Who told you how to be saved? They explained repentance to you. They explained faith to you. The Bible says they harden their neck. There's defiance, there's contempt, there's stubbornness, there's sheer disobedience. There may be sins that people refuse to repent of. Here's one is procrastination. They put it off. Not this week. Next year, next revival meeting, next Bible conference. This fall, there's some things I want to do as a young person. I want to try. I want to go out and sow my wild seeds for a couple of years. He that being offered proved hardeneth his neck. How many years you have? I mean, when are you going to die? Megan, you're just graduated high school. When are you dying? I know it's quite a question to be asked. But I remember people dying at the age of 18 in my high school. I remember there was a great athlete we had. His name was Teddy White. Played two sports. Fast, could catch the ball, shoot the ball. He was great. Good guy. A couple years after he graduated, he lost control of his car, went into the woods, and he died in a car accident. Who'd have thought that? I mean, there was a kid in our school, Liz and I both knew him, came down with a disease, died. I mean, Justin, you just graduated, young, strong, healthy, can play softball. When you die? Don't know. Point on the man wants to die. You say, preacher, these are strong words. This is reality, beloved. This is reality. Now, if you want to fantasize, there's plenty of churches for that. I don't like fantasy land. I like the truth. But the blessing is you can know the truth, and the truth make you free. So we find people procrastinating. They put it off, not now, some other time. I want to do some things. If I were to ask the average lost person attending the services this morning, are you planning on being saved? They'd say yes. Do you want to be saved? Yes. Do you need to be saved? Yes. Are you going to be saved? Yes. Right now? I don't know about right now. I mean, there's some things that I have to take care of first. There's things I'm waiting on. There's some things I want to do. There's some things I want to try. There's some places I want to, there's some things I had to take care of, but not today. Soon. But not this week. See, procrastination, beloved, is putting it off. It's another day, another time. Soon, but not today. But do you have tomorrow? Do you have tomorrow? Beloved, do you understand that what is taking place prophetically in our world, what the Bible says, is taking place right before our eyes? I think we have some time. How much? How much time? How much time do we have? Do you understand that our country is heading to a financial default? Beloved, if it happens, it's going to be devastating. Do you understand? Well, I've got a, you know, $10,000 in the bank. $50,000 is going to be worthless. Do you understand that? You don't believe that? Look up Zimbabwe. They went under. It takes now 1,000 of their currency to buy a shirt. Or rather, a million. It was 1,000 one time. Now it's 1,000,000. Money's worthless. Germany. That's what happened to them. They defaulted. There was no economy left. People taking barrels of money. I've seen pictures of it. As soon as they got their check, they had to run to the bank, and hopefully there was enough money there to cover the check because inflation was going up. It's happening to us, beloved. People are bragging about the stock market. Stock market is all inflated right now. There's no other place to put your money. What are you going to do, put it in housing? Not for long. What's going on in the world? I mean, the world is fleeing from America's dollars. They're going to the gold standard. We're sitting there just printing it up like it's monopoly money. It's going to be a major default. Maybe in a couple of months. Maybe this next week. I don't know. No, preacher, this is America. Oh, you must get your head out of the sand, my friend. Alliances throughout the world. Alliances in religion. The Pope reaching out to the Muslims. The Pope reaching out to the Hindus. They're going to bring it all together. Be a one world religion. It's going to be humanism. It's going to be a one world government. That's where we're headed for. America is going to change some, beloved. It's going to be North America. Well, that's what we are. But no, it's not going to be America. We're not going to be our own country. It's going to be North America. We're being neutralized right now. Europe. The world. So are you afraid, preacher? Not a bit. Not a, what am I afraid of? Dying? I know where I'm going. I'm going to that heavenly city. I'm going to be with the Lord forever. I'm not afraid. Matter of fact, if we get attacked when a nuclear weapon hit me in the head with it. For sure. Because of my luck, I'll be left behind. Alive. Just kidding. I shouldn't say that. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not trying to be macho. I'm just telling you because I know what the Bible says. I'm saved. I'm forgiven. Amen. But you want to be prepared. Many of you know about the Johnstown flood in Pennsylvania. June 1st, 1889, America woke up to the news that Johnstown, Pennsylvania had been devastated by the worst flood in their nation's history. Over 22,000 were dead, with many more homeless. And when the full story of the flood came to light, many believed that it was a natural disaster, that surely man was an accomplice. Here's where the problem was. This town had boomed. They had railroad going through there. They were developing some of the greatest steel in the world at the time. But there was a fault in the dam up above the city. They were told by the Army engineers, this thing's going to bust one of these days. There's got to be a reinforcement. But see, they're making so much money, everyone's so busy, they didn't deal with it. They procrastinated. One night, the dam broke. It had been heavy rains all for 2-3 days, and all of a sudden it busted. When it busted, there was a roar that came down that absolutely destroyed over 2,000 people. And they could have been spared if the town would have addressed it, but they procrastinated. And see, that's what's going to happen. He that being often reproved, hardeth neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Remember the story in the Bible, in Luke chapter 12, of the rich young farmer? He built these barns and so on, had great crops, filled them up. And he said, I need to tear these barns down and build new ones. He's making all these plans. Nothing wrong making plans, but include God. Next thing you know, while he's making these plans, God said, now think about all the words God could have chose. He said, thou fool. Why was he a fool? Because he didn't consider God. He left God out of his plans. He said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required thee, and who shall these things be? See, we live, you've met people like this, they get in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're living like they live forever. They don't take care of their finances in the sense of putting it to good use. Next thing you know, it's left behind. It's squandered. And they were foolish. Because they didn't consider their soul. They didn't consider where they're going to go when they die. And their soul was taken from them. Sometimes it's pride. Old people think, I'm not that bad. I'm really a good person. We went through the commandments. You couldn't even keep 10 of them. We're not good. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Then there's pleasure. People loving their lives. They love the world. Not considering this is just a moment of time compared to eternity. And then there's possessions. The rich young ruler. Going to do everything and anything to be saved except what the Lord said to do, and that was to give away his money. So why would God do that? Because it was an idol in his life. It was everything to him. Where Jesus should be everything to us. That's what the Bible says. See, you really believe that, preacher? With all my heart? With all my heart. He was an idolater. Find the Bible says in Luke 14, we're to forsake all. Family, your life, forsake all. And then the Bible says that not only is there reproving the sinner, rebelling of the sinner, but there's a retribution for the sinner. Proverbs 29:1 shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I mean, this is sobering, beloved. No remedy. Many times you've heard people getting a second opinion from a doctor. I can fix that. Are you not taking this? I can make this work. Peter Ackle has a tremendous testimony. Maybe share it with us someday in the church. And seeing a doctor who found this, was it a little piece of bone, Peter? A little piece of bone. Changed his arm around so he can use it again. Tremendous. But I'm just saying that second opinion, that you know, there's a lot of ways to recover from things. But not without Christ. Not without Christ. There's no recovery. There's no second chance. The cults teach it. Oh, you'll not go to the celestial city. You'll go to this place. Oh, there's no hell. Don't worry about dying. You're not going to go to hell. God's going to allow you to get to heaven. Oh, you're going to go to purgatory and burn for a while. Oh, you're going to be reincarnated and come back as a dog. Those are absolute lies, beloved. Out and out lies. There's no remedy. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. This is sobering. To procrastinate. To be proud. To choose your possessions over Jesus, your pleasures over Jesus. When God gives them up, it's over. I want to share just a couple of stories. We'll close. Think about Noah. God was grieved that he had created man because all the evil man was doing. Matter of fact, the Bible says that he was thinking evil continually. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm just telling you right now, but I don't watch a lot of TV. But I'm telling you, there's nothing to watch. Unless I'm watching some news or put the Yankees on, you know, on the TV and just look up the score once in a while and see how bad they're losing. I mean, when you think about it, what's it watch? Sex in the City, you know, vampires, you know, wife swap. I mean, it's crazy, beloved. It's evil continually. Filthy minds. Mockers of God. They don't mock Allah. They don't mock Buddha. They don't mock the 24,000 Hindu gods. But they'll go after Jesus. Why? Because he's the true God. That's why. Amen. Amen. nothing decent anymore. Everything's a joke. Everything's off color. Everything's a sex. A filthy society. I mean that, beloved, and I'm not a prude. Amen. Filthy society. But then we find that Noah's day, 120 years, God said the people had to repent. Noah built an ark. Right before the 120 years was done, God got Noah, his wife, his three sons and three daughter-in-laws into the ark. And the Bible says this, and God closed the door. It's too late. All of a sudden the flood came. See, you really believe in that? With all my heart, I do. I'll tell you why, the Bible says so. Period. The Bible says so. Why wouldn't I believe the Bible? I'm going to believe some professor who said we came from monkeys? I'm going to believe him? I'm going to believe some anti-God, anti-Christ scientist who said there was an explosion? We don't know how it happened, but it happened. And I'm going to believe him? When I know there's a designer? And I just don't believe that. There's a creator. His name is God. I believe that with all my heart. God shut the door. There was water in the earth. There was a canopy over the earth. And God destroyed the world. Destroyed the world. Except for those eight. The Bible said in Matthew 24, knew not till the flood came and took them all away. So shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Now throughout this time, Noah had warned them. He had warned them, but all of a sudden, suddenly, there was these rain clouds. There was a canopy around the earth. I don't feel right about today. They knew not, the Bible says. Just like when you're going to die. They knew not. It came suddenly. Genesis 7, verse 11, the same day, where all the fountains of the great deep broken up and the windows of heaven were open suddenly without remedy. You know the story of Moses going up and get the Ten Commandments? And he left the camp and there was three men, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram, who rose up against God's leadership, rebellion against God, rebellion against Moses, rebellion against Israel. The Bible says God destroyed them all. He allowed the ground to open up and swallow them. So, you really believe that? You ever see a sinkhole? I mean, they're happening more and more all the time. Ground opens up and swallows. Swallows houses, apartment buildings. Swallows people. I believe that with all my heart. God opened the ground and allowed them to drop right into hell because of their wickedness. Destroying, deceiving other people. Proverbs 29:1. There's a certainty. Shall. There's the quickness, suddenly. No expectation, boom, it happens. Then there's the conclusiveness without remedy. And here's what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. How shall we escape? Here's what it says. If we neglect so great salvation. Jesus said to the most religious men of the day, Matthew 23:33, he said, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? He said that to religious people. People very strict with their life. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. See, understand this, that God loves us. He's a merciful God. He's a God of grace. He extends grace to you right now. All you do is receive grace. Can't work for it, can't earn it, can't merit it. There's nothing good about you before God that God is going to say, oh, he was a good man, she was a good woman. It's not in the Bible. God gives us hope. Salvation through Christ and Christ alone. He didn't leave us in a gray area, so you have to figure it out. God doesn't do it that way. God is a God of compassion. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God is a God of forgiveness. He'll forgive you of all your sins, save your soul right now. You can leave this service knowing that you're going to heaven. Not knowing you're Baptist, that's not what we're here for. Knowing you're saved. Heaven's not filled with Baptists. Heaven is filled with saved people. I love being a Baptist. I wouldn't be anything else but a Baptist. But that's not what's going to get you to heaven. It's only Jesus. And Jesus alone. Now let me ask you this as we close. Are you saved? When were you saved? Well, mine's a little bit different than the Bible. It's wrong. It's wrong. Is there a difference between a Yugo and a BMW? I mean, they're both cars. Is there a difference? Of course there is. Is there a difference between grain-fed cattle and cattle that are shoved full of chemicals? Absolutely. Chickens and eggs. Things that are different are not the same. And unless you come the Bible way, there's no way that you're going to make it to heaven. Dealt with someone recently. Tragic. Studied the Bible with them for a while. And I'm telling you almost verbatim. And I have a witness to this. This was their testimony. I got saved as a young girl in Lutheran church. Now, beloved, I'm just telling you, I'm not trying to pick on the Lutherans. I love Lutheran people. Hate their doctrine. I love Lutheran people. Lutherans teach that you have to be baptized as a baby, sprinkled as a baby, to have your sins forgiven. Martin Luther believed in baptismal regeneration. I know the great, just shall live by faith. He did say that. But he said a lot of other things. That's not the only thing he said. Martin Luther, just shall live by faith. Just shall live by faith. Read his writings. Read the church catechism. They believe salvation is through baptism. She said, but I heard the gospel as a young girl there, and I received Christ as my Lord and Savior. I said, you didn't hear the gospel there. Impossible. She said, then I listened to a TV preacher when I was 21. That's when I was saved. But I really didn't come to know the Lord until about 42 years later. But that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. Amen. Unless you come the Bible way, there's no way you're going to be saved. There's no way. You can think positive. You can be baptized in every church. You can be sprinkled. You can be immersed. You can take the Lord's Supper and communion in all the different churches. You can be washed in the Ganges River. You can make a trip to Mecca on your knees. Except the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And the way, the truth, and life, and no man come to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. So when were you saved? Who showed you how to be saved? If you died right now, where would you go? Well, I believe I'd go. No. Do you know? Do you know? Do you have a testimony? Could you stand to your feet right now and give a clear-cut testimony of when you were saved? Let me ask you this. When did you graduate high school or junior high? Where were you born? Well, I don't know. I was just born. One day I just showed up with the family. Oh, just one day? Kind of walked up the drive and knocked on the door. I'm here. Is that how it happened? See, there's births, there's times, there's places, there's testimonies. When were you saved? See, preacher, I don't know. Well, then you need to be saved. I'm telling you, throughout this auditorium, there are men and women who take a Bible. In a private room, there's offices, Sunday school rooms, all over the building here. Sit down and show you from the Bible how you can know. K-N-O-W. Not how to believe, hope, trust, how you can know. If you died right now, you'd go to heaven. If you don't know that, you need to know it. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed. Say it with me. And that without remedy. Our Father, thank you so much for this time, and thank you for the privilege to preach. Thank you for each person here. God, I pray for everyone.